What's up, podcaster or soon-to-be podcaster? Get ready to level up your podcast game because the number one podcast education summit of the year is back, and it's bigger and better than ever. I'm talking about the second annual podcast summit happening on July 4th and 5th in the content creation capital of the world. You already know, ATL, baby. Atlanta, Georgia, going down July 4th and 5th, two full days. Imagine this. Imagine you getting all the game you need to take your voice, your brand, your business to the next level. Imagine getting all the insider tips. Imagine getting all the know-how that you've been craving for the last 2, 3, 4 years where you're talking about you're going to start a podcast, but you haven't yet because you don't have the tools, you don't have the tips, you don't have the tricks. I don't care if you're just starting or you're a seasoned pro. This summit has something for everyone. Picture you mastering the basics of setting up your podcast or unlocking the secrets to grow your brand on social media. We're not just talking about podcasting here. I'm talking about you want to build a long form catalog, whether it's skits, movies. We got people talking about script writing. This is an incredible experience. Imagine discovering the art of securing these lucrative sponsorship deals. And that's not all. Learn the ropes of creating a pitch deck that has sponsors knocking down your door. But wait. There's more. This isn't just a summit. This is an experience. I'm telling you. Rub shoulders with industry leaders. And you got to network with the other people that are doing what you're doing. All the guests that have ever been on Social Proof Podcast, I'm giving them a free ticket. And in exchange, they promise me that they're going to sit down and do short interviews with you. We got podcast booths for our VIP members where you can sit down, pull somebody to a side, and you're going to create content in real time. I know what you're thinking. How do I get a part of this podcasting paradise? Well, it's simple. All you have to do is head over to podcastsummit.com, grab your tickets now, but hold on, because I have something really, really special for you. I got a little treat for my early birds, people who take action. The next 20 listeners and only 20 listeners who get your tickets right now, okay? I'm not only going to give you 20% off of whatever ticket level you get 20% off, but if you use the promo code BIGDEAL, it'll take 20% off immediately, but I'm also going to allow the first 20 people listening to this right now to be able to bring a friend, bring a teammate, bring a partner for absolutely free. You get general admission, they get general admission. You get VIP, they get VIP. Whatever ticket level you purchase, you get to bring a friend, partner, colleague, boo thing for absolutely free. Nothing extra required. My team's going to reach out to you, get your partner's name, or if you don't have the person you no, right now, yet, you got time, no pressure, you get us back. But use that code BIGDEAL, that triggers to let us know you get to bring someone for free. So don't wait. So secure your spot at the number one podcast education summit in the country. Join us July 4th and 5th in Atlanta. Let's turn your podcast dreams into a reality, y'all. Head over to podcastsummit.com. Use promo code Big Deal at checkout and get your tickets now. Don't miss out on the opportunity to take your podcast to new heights, take your brand to new heights, take your business to new heights with this unprecedented offer, okay? I'll see you at the summit. And don't forget to use promo code Big Deal. You want a seat at the table, but what if you want a seat at an award show, a seat at Fashion Week, or a seat with the board of directors for a cause that excites you? A career that puts you in the driver's seat where your passions become your purpose. Do you love the world of music, the excitement of high fashion? Or perhaps you're driven by a desire to make a difference. No matter your passion, accountants are helping to lead the way to keep the music playing, the runways alive, and communities thriving. Imagine being an accountant, working in the music industry, working closely with your favorite artists on their financial strategies, or picture yourself as an accountant working in fashion, an essential part of the production process, helping designers thrive. Or how about an accountant working with nonprofits, impacting the community by guiding fiscal decisions? Well, Deloitte's Making Accounting Diverse and Equitable, or MADE, M-A-D-E, is here to help you seize that seat. They're redefining accounting, especially for high school and college students, with a core focus on making a difference. If you're on the hunt for a career where your passions meet potential, take a moment to visit Deloitte MADE's website at DeloitteMADE.com. DeloitteMADE.com. Wherever important decisions are being made, accountants are helping to lead the way. The future of accounting starts with you.
Welcome to another episode of the Social Proof Podcast with myself, Donnie Wiggins, and David Shands. And I'm just going to put it out there right away.
Blow your nose.
So if I look like I'm not, like I'm tired, because that's what I've been getting the past couple of days, I'm just not feeling well. And we're on the other side of something like congestion and all this stuff. But I am here. I am at work. I am clocked in and yes. I am ready to go. This is also my first time like really talking in the last couple of days. So forgive me. Just I'm sorry.
It's all good.
Ironically, I just came back from a wellness trip.
I ain't come from a wellness trip unwell.
I came back from a wellness trip unwell. And let me tell you why. First of all, I don't know what it is about airports that make every, in airplanes specifically. Mm-hmm. Okay, let me start because before the wellness trip, I had to go to Dallas mm-hmm. on a trip. And in Dallas, I was in seat 31A. Mm-hmm.
31.
That's behind the wing.
Yeah.
That's like right there by that last bathroom. Before that one in the back, that middle range. This plane was so big that they had the first class bathroom, two bathrooms in the comfort and economy, and then that one in the back, right? So everybody on this flight is hacking and coughing and hacking and coughing, and it's just ridiculous. And I think I got it. I had to have gotten it on my way back from Dallas mm-hmm. because Milan isn't sick.
Gotcha.
And we traveled on the same flight in Atlanta, and it takes a couple of days for, you know, this stuff to manifest and come about. But it's something about being in the airport. I got to start wearing a mask because I'm going to get it every time. Yeah. Every freaking time. I am the most supplement-taking, vitamin-taking, mm-hmm. herb-using person I know, and I still catch these nasty little germs.
Moral of the story, man. Forget that health stuff. Just live your life, man. Healthy people get sick all the time. Donnie always tells, take your vitamins and your supplements. And she was drinking this chlorophyll water, green water, looking all healthy, going to the gym 8 times a week.
But I honestly think that it was a combination of the germs and the climate changes. Like, yeah. It was freezing cold, then super hot, and then freezing cold and super hot. And that just never does well with me. What I do know now, though, I'm so grateful to have a business that pretty much runs itself. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's a lot to be done in business, but I have been able to just rest the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 days and not have to worry about things getting done. This and my Actionable CEO mentorship community are the most that I have to like show up.
Yeah.
And of course my clients in business, but every single day there's not something for me to be present for. Today is the first day. And so I've gotten an opportunity to rest.
Solid. You deserve it, man.
We need to focus more on passive income. That's the lesson that I've learned.
That is the lesson.
That is the lesson. We need to focus on more passive income. Like, what can we do at scale?
At scale.
To make multiple millions of dollars yep. so that not even at a time of something bad happening, but just a time of rest, we get to just do those things and still be making money and make an impact. And really what I want so much passive income that I get to do those other things that I love, just use my time to do the other things that I love, yeah. like going into the schools and talking to schools and hanging out in, you know, neighborhoods where they may need that they're not normally exposed to, people just wanting to come and impact them, yeah. Going out and doing things for the community, traveling, doing the things that I love. I just need the passive income.
Yeah. And people look at us like we have super passive income. It's not all that passive. It's not all that.
No,
passive.
We be working.
We gotta show up.
We be working.
We gotta come in here and record. And I guess there's levels to it because we're at a level where we can do the stuff that we like doing. And it doesn't feel like work. It just feels like we're living our lives. But we gotta go make the money. Yeah. But yeah, we still got.
This
still
morning, got as I was getting dressed, it for sure felt like work because I am running back to the bed. As soon as I leave.
So you've been in the bed all day?
For sure. I've been taking meetings from bed with my camera off. luckily, I did have a client that I had to see yesterday, the Hartzogs, and they've been my clients for so long that they give me grace. Mm-hmm. So I can like show up with a messy bun and a robe on and be like, y'all, don't ask no questions. Information. Let's just get this business growing. But yeah, I've been in the bed for the last 3 days. Well, and yeah, so I've been in the bed on and off for the last 3 days because I had to go to a graduation too. So I just hadn't had time to rest. As soon as we hit stop.
Yeah. Going back to the bed.
I'm going right back to the bed.
And you deserve it. Mm-hmm. It's called like life design. You got to design your life in the way you want it to be. Mm-hmm. And I think we have most of the picture so far, right? But we still that one. And I think there's two ways to go about this. We can either set up some extreme passive income, and maybe we can go through some opportunities for people to come up with passive income or what it, or describe what it looks like. The other thing, you need tissue? Do you need tissue?
I'm not blowing my nose on the podcast.
I'm saying, do you need, why not?
That's disgusting. And then I'm going to have like the tissue marks because my nose is really dry from all of the blowing.
Mm-mm. But yeah, but you're gonna sniffle.
I'm going to thug.
Oh, yeah, would you? Okay, morning meetup. You're here. Would you rather her sniffle the whole time?
You cannot hear me sniffling.
Can you guys hear her sniffle?
Okay, back to the lesson at hand.
Oh,
perfection is perfected. I'ma let it understand from a young G's perspective. What song is that?
Never
that's
heard Snoop Dogg.
That's Snoop Dogg.
So we can either create passive income, where we set something up where we get the money and not have to work for it. The other way is we can work really, really hard and accumulate like 30, 40 million, and that should last us forever.
That should last us forever. Okay, here's something. I went on this wellness and clarity trip. Mm-hmm. I do this trip twice a year. This time it'll end up being 3 times because I went back sooner than expected. And when I go on this wellness and clarity trip, the wellness part is just me doing a lot of praying and meditating and like a massage every day, right? That's my wellness part.
Get Donnie a tissue. We'll just mute it when you got a sniffle.
I am not.
Give Reese like, and grab Kashif. Give Reese like the little point and then you like hit mute and do that. You can go crazy and then we're good. Just so you're more comfortable. Go ahead.
But the clarity piece, I had a list of things that I needed to get clear on in my business. Anytime I take a trip like this, I go with this with a list so I know what I'm focused on, right? Because you can get in these environments and your mind just starts going and you're inspired by everything around you and your mind starts going in a million different directions. I did not come back with clarity.
You went on a clarity trip, did not come back with clarity.
Mm-hmm.
That was lit.
No. So I made my list, and then I did an interview on the Full Transparency podcast with this woman, Dr. Tracy Lynn. Mm-hmm. My whole list went out the window.
Really?
The whole list went out the window. So she built a direct sales company that sold jewelry.
What's it called?
I believe the... Tracy Lynn Jewelry.
Okay.
I believe the largest direct sales company by a black woman.
Mm.
Her nickname is the $100 million woman because she built the company to over a $100 million company.
Wow.
And she told me that my goals weren't big enough, that I was dreaming too small. And she was inspired by the Madam C.J. Walker.
Ah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Actually, you see her?
I'm looking it up right
now. I introduced you to her briefly.
Yeah, yeah. And I was like running. Tracy Lynn Jewelry. And she named it after herself. That's what's up.
Yeah. So super cute, super fly woman, super impactful. You need to watch that episode. Everybody needs to watch that episode. So I was telling her that I wasn't sold. Like, I wasn't sure how big of a business or how big of a brand I wanted to build.
Mm-hmm.
And it had nothing to do with my ability to do it because I know whatever I say I want to do, I can do.
Mm-hmm.
It has more to do with my desire and my capacity, right? And she was saying that thought was ridiculous. I have to go out here and build a big business. Like, I owe it to the generations after me to build this business as big as I can, to think that Madam C.J. Walker was the person.
it's so important that Black voices are represented in Black media for so many different reasons. And the next generation of Black voices and influencers from Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collections, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. And every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Smurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black Stories, Black Truths. I listen and I'm enjoying these conversations that are for us, by us. Black representation, again, it hasn't always been shared from our perspective. And Black perspectives haven't been censored in the telling of America's story. Now they are the story. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. Hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcasts that center Black voices. It's NPR Noir. Turn on NPR today and hear a range of voices as very nuanced and Black as the country we reflect. Stories should never be about us without us. Listen to the Black Stories, Black Truths on NPR, wherever you get podcasts. All right, let's do some quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you can keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headache, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required. Access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. It just makes sense. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit from NetSuite? I know you see it. Listen to me. If you have everything scattered in business, you cannot grow. And everything is more expensive when you have more and more processes layered on top of each other, more and more softwares. You got to get out of that. And it will improve efficiency and cut costs. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/socialproof. That's netsuite.com/socialproof. netsuite.com/socialproof.
Person who inspired her, and then generations later, decades later, you know, Madam C.J. Walker was made $1 million. She was the first, was she the first Black woman millionaire, I think, documented? Mm-hmm. Businesswoman. She goes out and she makes $1 million. And Dr. Tracy Lynn is inspired by her journey. 100 years later, goes out and makes $100 million. And she has now challenged me in my lifetime to make $500 million.
Dang.
500. She said, if I did 100 with the resources and everything that I had available to me, in the day and age that we live in now, surely you can go and do 5.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if 500 is my number. But I do know that it's bigger than the 20, 30, 40 million that we've said that we can live off of for the rest of our lives.
But we can.
We absolutely can.
We can.
We can. But is that, you made a post the other day that said you're not very concerned about your legacy because people are just going to forget you anyway.
Correct. I'm looking her up.
I believe I want to leave a legacy. Yeah. I want a name like a Madam C.J. Walker, where generations later people are talking about you. You can be that person too.
So what? Why do you want? Okay, what happens when people are talking about you?
Well, look at the way it has inspired other people to navigate their own lives and create dreams and goals. Mm-hmm. Like, I believe in, like, my whole purpose, my whole mission is helping people make their, like, actualize their dreams, yeah. right? I am all about designing your life by your, living your life by your own design. And that means that you have to dream bigger, you have to believe bigger, you have to do bigger. And I believe that if that is my journey and my purpose in life, it needs to remain that in my death as well. And it can only remain that if I go out there and I build this as big as I can and make enough noise around it as I can as possible to be memorable, to be written about. We've already been written about in books. Like, that's insanely amazing.
Sure.
What if we did more? What would the stories be then?
Nah, yeah, I get it 100%. I think everybody just has their own philosophy on their own life, and there's no right or wrong. I'm saying, so, for instance, I use this example a lot. Somebody like Martin Luther King, he has a legacy, and he's done, we wouldn't be here doing what we're doing if it wasn't for him, which is extremely impactful, but no one talks about how important he is outside of MLK Day or Black History Month or, you know what I mean? It's not like we have these big legacies. After a while, it's over. Nobody talks about it. Think about the kings and queens back before our time frame, or the people who conquered Mesopotamia. I remember that from school. Mesopotamia.
That was a spelling bee word that I had.
Somebody conquered Mesopotamia or owned it or something, but nobody knows. So here's the thing. At what expense, though, Donnie? So we can go out and build a $500 million business. And if the mindset is, it's easier than you think, it's not going to take as much time as you think, then, you know, it's a different mindset. But at what expense? I don't know if I can. What I'm saying is, I don't know if I can build a $500 million business doing as much as I do for my church and for my house as I do.
So it's interesting that you say that, because at one point you were clear that you were going after a billion.
For sure. Mm-hmm. And then I matured.
And I've been the one who's been struggling. Like, I don't even know if I want 100 million. Like, I've been struggling with, am I willing?
Right.
Am I willing to do it? And for the same reason, with as much as I like to do for my family, be with my family, be with my friends, travel, and live my life. Like, it's equally important for me to be successful, to be a standard of success to other people, but also get to enjoy my life experience. Yeah. And that's the one thing I'm not willing to budge on. Like, I believe that people like the Dr. Martin Luther Kings and the Malcolm X's, I believe they were willing to exchange their own life experience in exchange for other people. And I think that's great. Yeah. I'm not that person though. Your girl is gonna enjoy this life. Okay. Yeah. I'm gonna be looking down one day and be like, yeah, we did that. We did that. I think it's manageable, right? I have been willing to sacrifice a lot of time in free education and free mentorship and time spent. Like, I am willing to do the work. It's just in this life, I must be a recipient of my hard work as well, right? Yeah. Of the rewards of my own hard work.
Yeah.
And so when I think about 500 million, I don't think that's easy. I don't think 100 million is easy. I've got friends though who have built $100 million plus companies, and it don't look like they're doing too bad.
right.
They're not doing too bad. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What was the point for you that said, I no longer want a billion?
There's a lot of things you can do with $500. I mean, you can have a night out with your significant other. You could buy some really expensive shoes. Well, really nice shoes are about double $500. You could buy a course where you can learn something for $500. But I have something better for you to do with the $500. I want to meet with you every single morning for the rest of your life. Well, maybe not the rest of your life, but every morning, Monday through Friday, for the rest of the year. I have information and game that have allowed me to build a successful business, a successful community, and a successful life all the way around. But I want to share that with you. But the only way we can accomplish this is not me selling you a course, not me giving you a one-on-one consultation, because even with that, you'll get the information, but you'll need more. I want to meet with you every single morning. Now, would I meet with someone every morning for $500 for a year? And the answer is yes. Actually, we've been doing this thing since 2017. We have what's called the Morning Meetup. Every single month, we have a theme, whether it's social media, whether it's motivation, whether it's strategy, whatever it is, we have a theme for the month. And every morning in that month, we have a conversation around that topic. And I am giving a wealth of knowledge, not only myself, but a lot of friends, a lot of people that you see on this podcast, they join every single week. So you need a community of people that you can grow with, and you need a coach. I'm your coach. The Morning Meetup is your community. Go to themorningmeetup.com. It's $499, and I will meet you every single morning for an entire year. Give it a shot. My focus just changed in what I want, because it takes an immense focus to build something that big. Think about the people who have built something. And we have the anomalies, right? Where they started something, had a good idea, it hits, it goes crazy, and after a few years, somebody wants to buy it for $100 million, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. We have those anomalies. Mm-hmm. But for the majority of people who have built something that big, it consumed their entire lives.
Yeah.
Their entire lives. And I don't know if I want my life consumed, especially in these ages. I want as many memories of my children as possible. I want, and this, let me be clear. This is not an excuse to not go hard, because what typically happens is when people, let's say like their business are on a decline, they find God or realize how unimportant this stuff is, because business is on a decline. My business is not on a decline, okay? But my children are so important to me. And my son is going through his health challenges right now. And I'm going through wanting to just be at peace, you know what I mean? And not as stressed out. And I'm starting to reevaluate some of the things that I do, even today. And I'm like, yo, if I didn't do so many things, I may be able to find joy in doing a thing. Like, is it possible that outside of all the business stuff that I do, I could just lock into the Morning Meetup and just love on them, and that'd be my whole thing?
Oh, talk heavy. You don't know how happy I am to hear you say that. Mm-hmm. I am so happy. I have talked to you to the point where I just don't talk to you about it anymore, about like, Dave, you work a lot. You do a lot. You need to relax, like take time for yourself.
Yeah, but Donnie, I love this stuff.
I understand that you love it. But at the end of your life experience, you will love more the memories that you will have created in your family, with your friendships. And like, you want more of those memories than you want Morning Meetup.
Coming from the person that just said they're about to go after $500 million.
Yeah, but I also said I'm not willing to exchange my joy and my fulfillment for it. Like, you know.
You have to.
No, I don't.
So, you're going to have, not all of it, but some of it. You have to, there's got to be a trade here.
There's some things.
You can't do that. You can't do that. Get it. You can't do that as much as you want and get the $500 million, okay?
There's no amount of this that you right. can do to get that. No, there has to be an exchange. There is an exchange, and there is hard work required, but also there's strategy.
For sure.
And I believe that we hadn't had the right conversation yet to get the right strategy. I believe there's an easier way to go about this. It's happening.
Yeah. So here's the thing. This is what I'm here to say to you all in the camera. I don't have the answers. I know y'all listen to me and you're listening to Dottie because you're looking for the answers. And we have some. But for your own life, you have to design it the way you want to design it.
So we know how to help people make $1 million in a day.
For sure.
What if we just help 365 or 500? What if we need to help them. We need to help more than that. But what
for
if
us to make the million? Right.
We need to make more than that. We need to help. Then we're getting up to like upwards of almost 1,000
It's a lot. It's a lot. What if you dedicated your life to help, like personally help 100 people become millionaires, right? Mm-hmm. You know how much incredibly difficult work that takes? Especially if you're not, I'm not talking about you're taking people who are already making six figures, already a millionaire, make another million. I'm talking about taking the people who don't understand, but they have a passion and make them become super successful. Do you know how many people you have to talk to find the people that are actually gonna, one, do what you say. Mm-hmm. Two, like do the work without excuses. Mm-hmm. That takes a lifetime of really focusing on other people and not necessarily focusing on yourself. And I'm just living the life. I think I'm cool right now.
I don't believe you.
What you mean?
I believe that you're going through a phase just based on things that are happening right now and you're in deep reflection and you're like, I need to be creating more memories with my family. That's what I think.
I've always been on that. I've been on this for a long time.
Like 2 weeks?
What time do we leave here? What time is like no one here? About
after 5, right?
4 o'clock over with.
Okay, you before have been doing then, that for a while.
Since my children were born. Mm-hmm. And I'm not doing a whole lot of stuff on Sunday. I spend a lot of time with my kids on Sunday. Like, that's like my family day. Mm-hmm. So I've been on this for a minute. Mm-hmm. I'm not, let's be clear, I'm not looking to make less money or hit smaller goals. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for this perfect balance. Not a perfect balance. I want to keep progressing, but the question is at what cost? Mm-hmm. And now I'm just making better decisions with what I do with my time.
Okay. You made a post the other day that said we really could live a great life off of a couple hundred thousand.
Let me read it because there's a good point of conversation. Hold on, let's see. The post says, and I quote myself, making a passive few hundred thousand per year after expenses with no debt, a small team. Oh, this joint sounds sexy as I read it. Make a passive few hundred thousand per year after expenses with no debt, a small team, low overhead, and very little ambition is the formula for a peaceful life. Very little ambition.
That's the formula.
My ambition frustrates me sometimes because we just go keep doing stuff.
I'm going to keep doing it.
Let me read the caption because I think the caption was good. Ambition gets in the way of your peace because you always find something. You always find yourself building something after you've built something. You get to the top of the mountain and realize you're at the bottom of another one. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I can't just sit down and settle. I'm not necessarily trying to leave millions to my kids because there's a lot of conversation. This could be a good podcast. I'm not necessarily trying to leave millions to my kids because I want them to build their own lives. Somebody said something, a CEO of something. It was like, their kids got to get it on their own.
That was,
who was it?
That's Bill Gates, isn't it?
Who said? I think he has that philosophy, but somebody else just came out and said that.
A new CEO?
I thought it was. Yeah, it was another CEO. I don't think it was Bill Gates. I don't remember. But anyway.
Isn't Warren Buffett not leaving the majority of his money to charities and things because he feels like his kids should work for themselves?
You know, a lot of super successful people feel that. Hold on. Somebody said it was Jeff Goldblum. Jeff Goldblum.
Yes, Buffett. It's definitely Warren Buffett.
Yeah, but I'm saying a lot of people live like that. Or like super successful people, they have that philosophy. I'm not giving my kids anything.
Well, and I can agree and disagree. Mm-hmm. Oh, Jeff Goldblum is the actor. I like him too. Mm-hmm. I like him a lot. Yeah, Jeff Goldblum warns his kids that they'll need to work when they're older.
Yes. Won't be leaving him he won't be leaving his $40 million fortune to his kids.
Well, I feel it and I don't feel it. So, you know that how badly I wanted to build a family business. I don't know if that's going to work out.
You feel me? Yo, things change.
Things change. I don't know if it's going to work out. And it's not for any negative happening, more than I am also understanding the importance of them finding themselves for themselves. And they'll have a home here if that's what they find for themselves. Mm-hmm. Now, for clarity, I never steered my family to work for me. I created opportunities, and if they asked for one, I gave it to them, right? But when I saw that my opportunity looked appealing to them, I'm like, oh, I could really make a family business out of this, and this would be so amazing. It would be dope. It would be incredible. But there are pros and cons to that. And I can understand if their perspective is coming from a place of, and I've gotten in my feelings, I have, like, wanting people to be more invested in the business because it's a family business, and wanting you to take it more seriously because it's a family business. And don't you see how hard I work on this? And it's a family business. So I can understand a Buffett or a Jeff Goldblum mindset if they feel like their family isn't as in it as they are. It's kind of, it almost feels like a slap in the face. You take it personally. And so then you say, you're going to have to work for your own money. I'm not working this hard, and you take no interest in it, and you just get to inherit everything that I have. But on the flip side of that, for me, the reason that I go so hard anyway is for my family. Right? Because we've been in adverse situations where I didn't know how ends were ever going to meet. I didn't know how we were going to survive certain periods financially. And because my daughter was such a motivating factor behind why I do what I do, she will inherit enough for sure. She's guaranteed that because I am her mother.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, my kids will definitely inherit some things, but I'm not focused on leaving a legacy. I'm focused on building some stuff that can allow me to have some experiences with my family while we're here. And the collateral is you'll get the stuff that I built. You know what I mean? But I'm not focused on leaving a legacy. That was the part of that particular conversation. But I think what you all, hopefully you're getting is you have a right to change your philosophy on life. When we were younger, we're like, yo, we're going to go build this business and make all this money. And then you make money and things change your perspective on things. It's so hard to tell people that it's so hard to tell people who don't have money how it's not as important as you think it is right now. I'm saying it's important. We got to go get it.
Yeah, for sure.
Got to go get it. Sure. But what you think your life is going to look like after you make $1 million, it's not going to look like that.
It's not.
And then you're going to change your mind. The things you like change. The things you think are important change. And through this process of building a business, things happen with your family. And you may lose somebody and you get a wake-up call saying, I spent all this time, energy, attention, trying to build this $500 million company, and I lost some experiences. And the regret is, I wish I spent more time. When my dad passed, my biggest regret was, I wish I spent more time. But this is around the time I'm really locked in and focused on my t-shirt brand. Not saying that I shouldn't have done that, because I did that, I was able to do some cool things for my mom, and now I can do some cool things for my kids. But in that time frame, I spent a lot of time and energy focusing on building when I could have spent some time with my dad. And I'm not regretting any decision that I make. I'm just saying you guys have to be prepared to be able to pivot in the way of your thinking, especially as you progress. Yeah. You have to.
Yeah. I mean, you'll go through a lot of inner reflection, self-reflection. Mm-hmm. You'll go through a lot of back and forth. One day you're going to want to conquer the world. The next day it'll just be conquering your zip code. Mm-hmm. And then after that, it'll just be like, as long as I conquer this house.
Right, for sure.
Right? As long as I take care, you're going to want to save the world. Mm-hmm. Then it's like, you're saving the city that you're from. Mm-hmm. Then it's like, as long as my immediate family is
for there. Sure. Then something happens, you got to realize you got to save yourself.
And then it's yourself. Then it's like, look, everybody's for themselves right now, and that including myself. You'll go back and forth, and I think it's important for people to understand that that back and forth mindset isn't necessarily wrong. Like, you're literally processing and evolving in real time. Mm-hmm. And people like you and I are not just doing it in real time. We're doing it out loud. Yeah. It's very public facing. Mm-hmm. So any decision changes that we make are noticeable and up for judgment. And I don't really care about any of the judgment and things, but we're literally just going through this experience of being entrepreneurs and CEOs and employers and bosses and mentors and all these things for the first time. Like, mm-hmm. there was no other experience that we've had doing this. We're getting to do it for the first time. And we hope that you appreciate us taking you on this journey in real time.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, because we could only show you, we could only show you the highlight clips.
Yeah.
There are some highlight clips.
There are some highlight clips, yep. We could edit everything.
We could edit everything.
Put a filter on everything.
We put a filter on nothing.
Right. Case in point, Dottie is here trying to infect everybody with whatever she got, and she showed up, baby.
And I showed up. I tried to just throw on a little bit of mascara, and then my eyes, I started sneezing in the car and my eyes started running, and so my eyes underneath my mascara is running, and we're on a time schedule today, so we sat down and we're here,
and I'm over here risking it all to make sure that we have an episode out, because I when she texted me, she wasn't feeling well yesterday. I was like,
not only did I
should save myself, I'm doing this for y'all.
I gave him the symptoms and all. Okay, I gave him the symptoms and all. My COVID test did come back negative.
Good.
But I cannot taste or smell. And what's interesting about that, you think I got COVID?
I mean, what else?
So what's interesting about that, did you see my story? I asked, like, I sincerely don't remember if a general cold before this whole COVID stuff, could you not? I remember, like, if your nose is stopped up, you couldn't smell, right? But was there ever a time where you could just have a simple cold and not taste? You could?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Okay.
I don't remember. So what is this whole, if you can't taste and can't smell, you've got COVID stuff? Why is that even a symptom? For sure. So my mom sent me a list.
Matter of fact, you don't got it.
No, I don't have it. I don't. My test was negative. So my mom, of course, is a master worrier whenever I have like a sneeze. And there's this new COVID variant going around called Flirt. Mm-hmm. Really weird. And so.
Who comes up with the names?
And so we had to drive to my cousin's graduation in Alabama, and my mom was driving me, and she could see all the symptoms and fever and all this stuff. So she sends me, she Googles the symptoms of Flirt, and the symptoms are sore throat, I got it, cough, I got it, fatigue, I got it, congestion, I got it, runny nose, headache, muscle aches, fever and chills, new loss of sense of taste or smell, nausea and vomiting, which I didn't have. And I'm like, Mom, but this could also be a kind
anything
of cold.
Else.
It could be anything else, right? And I'm like, we were literally driving ourselves crazy for 2 to 3 years over these things that
cold symptoms
are actually the same as cold symptoms. Now, the people who suffer for like shortness of breath, and you know, I had that experience the first time I had COVID, and that's nothing to play with. But when you're congested, you have difficulty breathing. Yeah. Right?
Yeah, for sure.
When you're,
and I think your actual taste is really connected to your ability to smell what you're tasting.
Ear, nose, and throat is all connected, right? But then it says, like, you should see a doctor if you have new loss of sense of taste or smell.
What? Propaganda.
Would I have old loss of taste and smell? Like, wouldn't it be new? Like, come on, guys. Oh, it's a symptom. Goodness. It's new. Yes. Anyway, so I think I just have like a common cold or sinus infection even.
But you showed up anyway.
And I showed up anyway. And I wanted to cancel. I'd be giving David so many outs. Well, if it's more convenient for tomorrow.
I'd be reading straight through them. I'm like, no, we'll be fine.
David is like, oh, no, it's fine. Come we'll today fine. In all of your sickness. Yeah. No, but in... At any rate, entrepreneurship overall is extremely rewarding.
Yeah.
I don't even care how hard I have to work. It's still extremely rewarding.
Yes. Let's get to this conversation. I'm just going to read the thing again. Making a passive 100,000, because you're going to make a point on this. Making a passive few 100,000 a year after expenses.
Mm-hmm.
After expenses. No debt. And when I was saying it, I was thinking, House paid off. Imagine a paid off car. You don't have no credit card debt. You don't owe anybody. After expenses, no debt. Mm-hmm. A small team.
What's small? I guess it depends on the company.
It's relative. Mm-hmm. But a small team.
Like 5 people, 10 people.
5, 10 people. Yeah, it's not. And the reason I say that, and I'm really outlining my little piece list. Okay, I'm projecting on everybody else.
K-Reese, y'all locked in, right?
Locked in. For sure, small
team. Ain't no switching up.
I would be so happy if... I would be happy. I used to want to have like 30 employees, stuff like that. I would be so happy if we could just maximize what we're doing. And the reason I say that is because dealing with multiple people and multiple personalities creates multiple issues and multiple stress points. The more people that you have in your life and in your close proximity, the more stress you are bound to be a part of. So that was a part of my piece list. Mm-hmm. And the last part, low overhead, of course, because you can run a business and you don't have to chase a number. If you have overhead of 20,000, you have to make 20,000. You're on the hook for that. Mm-hmm. So every single month. And then lastly, little ambition is a formula for a peaceful life.
I don't know if little ambition would be peaceful for me.
Well, it's not now because you have a lot of ambition.
I have a lot of ambition, but my ambition gives me something to look forward to every single day. Like to wake up and have nothing to look forward to every single day would feel like misery to me.
I don't know. There are some people in the world. Well, I don't know if that would be the case for you.
What do you mean?
So imagine waking up and the wake up isn't, like, yo, what mountain am I going to conquer today? The thought is, I'm going to make some sandwiches. And I'm going to go under the bridge and give out some sandwiches. Because
well,
it's the right thing.
Well, I think that's ambitious.
Or not really. It's not like to build something.
It's leisurely ambition.
It's like, yo, I'm going to go to the school today and I'm going to talk to some kids and I'm going to give them a play to run and I'm going to invest in their business.
Yeah.
That's what, as I'm like writing it, I'm thinking, the ambition is, yo, I got to build one of the biggest communities. We got to have one of the biggest podcasts. We got to have like, you and I have extreme ambition. Mm-hmm. But if we just made money and we didn't have ambition, you'd wake up, yo, I'm going to get on a flight today. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go to Paris. Mm-hmm. Just go kick it.
Well, I'm ambitious and I do that now.
Not like you would. If you didn't have as much ambition.
Well, if I didn't have as much ambition, I probably wouldn't have as much money.
That's not the case, though.
Huh.
If you had a few hundred thousand. So Terica.
Oh, in that example.
You okay. Got real estate. Terica does like, I think like $200,000-$300,000 a month in real estate passively. And it's super passive because she has a property manager that just manages stuff. And I know this to be true because I use her property management company and they just send me the money every month. Mm-hmm. It's the dopest thing in the world.
I used to be a property manager, so I know that's the process.
That's lit. You
Maybe
would go
I should
somewhere
just go
every
back
week.
To being a property manager.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
No. Get real estate and get a property manager. What I'm saying, you would do that every week.
For sure. I'd be somewhere all the time. However, that doesn't take away from my ambition. It takes away how actively I have to act on that ambition. So for me.
Say that again.
it doesn't take away from my ambition. Like, mm-hmm. I still want that measurable result. I just don't have to be as active in achieving it as I would as if it were active income versus passive income.
Correct. So it's lower ambition.
No, I don't think the correct term for me is lower ambition. I want less activity with maximized results. It's the activity part that I could do a little less of sometimes.
So the definition of ambition.
Okay.
A strong desire to do or to achieve something, typically requiring determination and hard work. By definition, ambition is a strong desire to achieve something. I want to not have, after we get this passive or we get this 40 million or something,
yeah,
not have a strong desire to achieve something, but just have strong desires to do stuff.
Well, if I were the property owner, if I were Terica, I'm sure she has a strong desire for all of her tenants to pay rent. That's still ambitious.
No, that's different.
That is definitely ambitious.
It's ambitious.
I'm going to
These
properties.
No, ambition says I want to go from 500 units to 600 units.
No. Ambition says I want to purchase 600 units and make sure that over the next 5 years they pay rent. What do we do to make sure they continue to pay rent over 5 years? That's also ambition.
You get a property manager to make
sure. But that's also ambition. Ambition doesn't mean that you have to consistently be moving the scale.
Donnie, I didn't say no ambition at all. I said little ambition. Mm-hmm. Smaller bits of ambition. Mm-hmm. I want to put a curriculum in schools. That's like
ambitious.
Right now I'm ambitiously going after that, right? Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, I get to do some good in the world, mm-hmm. get to affect the people that I want to affect, mm-hmm. and we get to make money. Mm-hmm. Little ambition says, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to go to my local high school and talk to some kids. There's nothing that I need to accomplish here, but I'm just going to give. I want to show some love. I want to do that kind of stuff. So everybody, I think everybody's definition of whatever, like that post, right? You'll see it one way, I'll see it one way.
Yeah, I mean, because
I don't want to have, after we get this money.
After we get this
money. I don't want to have the ambition that I have to say, I'm about to go put myself through some more stress to do another big event.
I think what I don't want is to always feel the need to be busy.
Yes.
That's what I don't want. Because.
All that ambition.
Yeah. for the last 3 days. Well, today is day 3, and I'm going to get back in bed. I literally have been laying in bed, like, with my computer right here, just, like, doing stuff. Because if I take too much time away, and I could completely, and that's just me just being bored. Is it bored or is it ambition? Like, work for me doesn't feel like work. Like, mm-hmm. I enjoy doing research. I genuinely like to do it. Mm-hmm. So what's the difference between a person whose hobby is to do research and a person who researches and makes money from it, right? I just genuinely
That's
like
a
to
huge
do it.
Difference, Donnie.
No.
That's a huge difference.
You wouldn't tell a person who was under the weather, whose hobby it was, to do some research. You should put your computer away and not do research. You'd say, oh, here's your computer. Would you like to just do your hobby while you're resting, right? It's a hobby for me, and I get to make money from my hobby. If I didn't make money from it, I'd still be researching.
What were you researching exactly?
So right now, I am on this AI rabbit hole. And I am just learning how to manipulate AI for my own use. I am determined to have the ability to run.
No. Use the first words you just used. Mm-mm. I'm determined to build.
I am determined to have the ability to run my business with AI.
Yes. That is ambition.
Well,
you're researching because you want to achieve something.
Yes, but we always want to achieve
something. No.
It's ambitious for a guy to court a woman when their goal is to make her his wife or his girlfriend or simply to have sex with her. Those things are all ambition. It's lazy ambition, depending on who has the ambition, right? So, yes, can you live a life and have no ambition? I think sometimes people misunderstand that maybe you can. Like, no ambition is people who are, like, worthless.
Mighty is a perfect example.
Mighty has ambition.
He does have ambition. But he also started shooting birds.
That's ambition.
That's photography.
He wants what he stated was that he wanted his piece to be picked up by like some major publication.
And I'm not saying
it's framed as a hobby, though.
Right. I'm not saying that it's not a want, but he's not actively going out to be this bird photographer and shopping his pieces and things of that nature. I'm not saying no ambition. No, he's not.
I think when he goes out and takes his photos and he posts them to the internet, that is him. He can say, you can tell, like he can say whatever it is because people will say whatever they want to say. But if it were not him actively trying to garner attention from those photos, he wouldn't post them. It would just be his own personal little project.
I think higher ambition starts to take over, but he started it to just as like
when he started it, he posted it.
But it was a hobby for him.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is research is a hobby for me. It really is. No, it's not. Dave, literally.
Research. Yo, I know you're trying to implement AI in your business. Don't lie to me, Donnie.
I mean, literally, what's the first thing when you presented the situation you're experiencing right now yesterday? What did I say? I'm about to start.
Researching. Yes.
That's just what I do.
No. I'm not saying it's not what you do. Okay, let me give you an example.
Okay.
We go play basketball. I'm not trying to achieve anything. I'm just going to hoop.
You want to win.
Believe it or not. I want to win, but I'm not going super hard. Like, I'm not going back and forth. You know how people argue, that was a foul. No, it's
ambition
not.
Ambition doesn't
ball.
Require you to go super hard.
Donnie,
that's the point there's that you're
a,
missing.
Here's the thing. I think you're confusing little ambition with no ambition at all. That's a dead person.
No, I think I'm you're saying not. I think you're confusing small ambition with no work ethic.
I think we have our own definitions and we're looking at it from different perspectives.
I agree with you there.
That's what I believe.
I agree with you there.
Okay, moral of the story. I think you need to design your life in a way that, you need to define what it looks like to live a perfectly peaceful life. And it won't be perfect, but there's something, me expressing the ambition that I have. It's like a Stockholm syndrome relationship. Wow. I love my ambition, but does the ambition always put me in the best situations? Does ambition always leave me feeling refreshed and revitalized and feeling amazing? Sometimes yes, but then I'm putting all this stuff on my back and then everybody says, Dave, you need to take a rest, you need to take a break. And I'm trying to convince people that I do it because I love it.
Oh, I fully understand.
I kind of love it.
I love it, especially when I'm getting the great result.
Come on.
Okay.
Achieving something.
But
when
I'm not achieving it,
burden.
I also love the process of figuring things out. And that's kind of what I have been doing over the last couple of days. Cynthia showed me a couple of things as it relates to AI. And it was like, oh, wow, this is cool. And because my mind loves this kind of stuff and AI is essentially learning how to do the right research to get a result, like this is right up my alley. So then I took that information that she showed me and I have been going in a rabbit hole. Like I have opened up a whole other world and I probably need to start backing out. Right. Because I'm now over here like, oh, I can create an agency and I can do this and I can do that. I see so many possibilities. And now that I'm doing it, now that I'm in that rabbit hole, all of the ads that come up on my Instagram and Facebook are things that's related to leveraging AI and using it. So then I'm going in their funnels and I'm like, oh, I see what they did here. And I see how I can do this. Yeah. It's ambition. Like my mind just doesn't turn off. Yeah. It's idea after idea after idea. And there's something deep down inside of me that makes me believe that one day I will have done this all. Yeah. Like I have this checklist of these ideas. I have this brain dump document and I revisit it regularly. And there's some part of me that says, you'll either accomplish this all or sell it, teach other people how to do it. Regardless of if it's me or someone else, I will see somebody else bringing these ideas that I've had into reality.
Yeah, I think I have the perfect example now about low ambition and high ambition.
Oh my God. So the whole time I was sitting here talking, you're back there thinking, you're so ambitious that you had to get this result.
I think I have the perfect example though. So you are a naturally ambitious person and you love research, right? Mm-hmm. When I'm ready to go find something to eat, like a restaurant, I call Donnie.
Yeah.
Now, Donnie is a foodie. She knows where all the good food spots are. She's not just going to tell you to go to this restaurant. She's going to tell you exactly what to eat, what to order, almost telling you like, okay, you need to go see this particular server. Make sure you don't go during the daytime, go in the evening. Like, that's her thing, right? And there are people who like really love this stuff. Now, mm-hmm. you're not trying to be a food influencer, mm-hmm. but... I would imagine you like being the person that people call for a few food restaurant, food, like
I am that
food person. Travel. It's almost like any city. She's like, yo, go to this hotel. Mm-hmm. And you may be intentional about finding different experiences. Mm-hmm. It's a certain level of ambition, mm-hmm. but you're not doing it to build this big brand around it. Right.
No, I'm not.
It's just, this is what I do. I enjoy it.
I enjoy it.
So I can imagine Donnie sitting on $100 million and doing that. Not because I need to be this big influencer, but I like doing it. And you might wrap a business around it. You might get paid to do things or posts or do food reviews and all that kind of stuff. But you're going to put that little money with the rest of it. But
put that little bit with the rest of the chump change.
It doesn't matter how high I go in this space, but I'm doing it because I love it.
Yes, but the part about I might turn it into a business is the
ambition that you can't ask. For sure.
Yeah.
It is.
Like, it's still, even if I do it at a small scale, I just can't help myself. I got to turn this into something.
We don't know what it's like when you sit on $100 million. We don't know.
But I would
imagine. That little thing might turn off, though. Like once it's super up,
once
it might turn off. You never know.
Yeah,
we don't. Like, we'll let you know, guys. Give us a couple of years.
Give us a couple of years. We're gonna put a pin in this episode, we're for sure gonna let you know.
Yeah, people need to spend more time designing their life.
Knowing a few people who've built businesses at that scale, it hasn't shut off for them.
Yeah,
it did not shut off for them. They're looking for when I find out that people have done that, their next thing is acquisition. Now they're not necessarily trying to build businesses from scratch anymore. They're trying to acquire other companies. So I mean, it's level.
I think I got it.
Okay, tell me.
I kind of understand.
Tell me.
So I'm working with some companies, and like it's like equity companies, right? Mm-hmm. And I want it to build, mm-hmm. but I'm my own business that I'm building, mm-hmm. and it may seem like yo. He's like doing some more stuff, but it is so cool to be able to look at a business and provide the strategy and watch them execute the strategy. Mm-hmm. And it feels so, I haven't made a dime. I haven't gotten none of my money back, but I'm not looking to get my investment back right now.
Not right now.
It's so fun to watch this thing build into a $100 million company. And I'm coming from a different angle, mm-hmm. because the things that they're dealing with in the business, I've been dealing with it. And I'm like, here's how you're supposed to look at that. And they're like, yo, I got it. And then they go execute and it works. I'm like, yo, this feels amazing. So mm-hmm. I see how once you get to a higher level in business, it's like, all right, I'm gonna keep building stuff because the game kind of slows down for me.
Yeah.
And I see it. And it becomes a lot easier to do it.
That's it. The yes. pressure has resolved just a little bit.
Yes.
Just a little bit. It's not necessarily the lack of ambition. It's the approach is different now because I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good. I still want to see a result from this, but I'm cool if it takes a little longer.
Yep.
Whereas right now it's like, I need to see the result ASAP.
Yeah.
Okay. Right now. If I put this in, I need this to come. You said it takes 3 weeks for this to come back.
Yeah.
I need it to come back in 2.7.
For sure. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah. I just think that the intensity at which we build changes. And we pick and choose projects based on different sets of criteria. We probably be choosing projects based on criteria that doesn't require as much of us, where a phone call or a conference or a fly-in and a sit-down is all you need for me on a monthly basis, not my daily input.
Yeah. Yep. Here's the danger, though, when you get to that level. There are some people who are always going to continue to put it all on the line and risk it.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you sell your company for $10 million.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of kind of setting up some things that will maybe pay us passively, you know, $15,000, $20,000 a month, we take it all and put it into something else, and we put ourselves back in that position of the grind, and it has to work today because I put everything I have in it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some, that's, I think that's when it becomes super obsessive. You know what I mean? Because I'm addicted to the risk. I'm addicted to the pressure. And what, as things get, I can see myself even through my own trajectory that I'm limiting pressure as I go.
Mm-hmm.
So I take money and I put it into like investments, take money, put it into real estate, take money, put it into stocks, things of that nature, because I know one day we're building a cushion for later.
For sure.
So
long-term payoff.
Yeah, man.
Versus short-term reward.
Identify what you want your life to look like, ladies and gentlemen.
And before we end this episode, I think it's important to understand that your ambition needs to, how does your ambition need to serve you? Yeah. Like, are you in a, like you said, we don't want to misguide you and say, don't be ambitious, and that it doesn't take hard work. I think that everybody needs to look at their own situation and ask yourself, what does my ambition needs to provide me right now? Do I need a right now payoff? Like, is your back up against the wall right now? Are you short on bills right now? Are you not living a desirable life as it is right now? Then you probably need to be super ambitious, and you need to have some measurable reward or return immediately. Mm-hmm. But if you're okay, you've got enough money coming in, you've got some projects working, you've got some investments happening, and you're much more stable, then you can probably afford to, for your ambition to be a little bit more long-term, right? And then there are some of you that are going to have, like where we are right now, we have short-term ambition and long-term ambition. We've got projects that need to pay off right away and things that we won't see the fruits of for the next 10 years. Mm-hmm. And that's just, it's up to you. Ambition, I think, is relative to what's happening in your life right now. But don't sit around and live a life without ambition.
For sure.
Don't live a life without ambition. The ambition, like David and I have these conversations, and oftentimes we are thinking out loud, but our ambition is why we're here. Our ambition earned us the right to share our thoughts and have these conversations on the Social Proof podcast. And in some way in your own life, our ambition, you're borrowing just a little bit of our ambition and applying it to your life to get done what you need to get done.
That's a fact. You can live any way you want to live. Yeah. I believe that. You can go get it. We love you all. Yeah, we thank you for the support. All these times you share our clips and share the videos and the comments, everything that y'all do for the support of the Social Proof podcast. We appreciate it. And we are going to continue to come back and help navigate your journey as an entrepreneur.
We ain't going nowhere. We ain't going nowhere. Even when the day comes where I'm just a rich housewife, I think at this point I deserve to be, what's it called? The women who just want to live off their husbands.
A rich housewife.
Okay. I think I've done enough work. What do you guys think? Have I earned my right to just be a rich housewife now? Like, have I worked hard enough to just, you think it's okay? I've earned the right to just be a rich housewife.
Have you?
Do you think I could ever sit around and just be a rich housewife?
Well, I mean, just is kind of a tough word, but I think.
You think so?
Yeah, because you just do a bunch of cool stuff.
I do a bunch of cool stuff. Mm-hmm. Y'all give me some suggestions.
hey, daddy, I need you to get me a little.
I would never call a man daddy.
Really?
Oh, God. I have never liked that word. I've never liked that word. It screams, I got daddy issues or something. I don't know. It's like, why would you want your woman calling you daddy?
It's a little weird.
It's a little weird to me. Yeah. I'm not knocking you guys who do it. I'm just saying it's not a word choice for me.
I just heard your voice in my head.
No, you'll never hear me call a significant other daddy. The only, like, unless he's a kid and I'm like, go tell your daddy, but not like in a romantic way. Like using the word
daddy in a
romantic
way. That is a weird thing now that we really think about it.
In a romantic way is kind of perverted.
A little perverted. To
me, it's a little perverted. Yeah.
That is extremely perverted now that I think about it.
It's a little perverted.
Why would you? Well, okay, now we got to say baby is perverted now.
Baby could be perverted.
Ah, Reese, that is
Hey, baby. I don't know. Because baby isn't necessarily a title like
it's
that.
The same.
You don't walk around calling children. It would be different if it's like, hey, kid. Hey, child. I don't know.
Hey, child.
Hey, child. Come and put it on me. I don't think baby, like daddy is a title. Baby isn't a title.
Huh?
Baby isn't a title. Like on a, mommy is capital M. Daddy is a capital D. Baby is not like a title in that way.
Baby, baby, baby.
What does baby mean? Because that could change everything for me.
It changes everything.
So
you're looking at it again. Oh, baby, baby, baby.
No, but here.
Ashanti said, baby, 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 baby. She's talking about a grown person.
Oh my God. So here's the thing. I was in a relationship and this guy literally had a problem with the fact that I didn't call them baby, right? It's always been a hard thing for me to say, but I've never thought about why it's been a hard thing for me to say. And then in another relationship, I tried using the word baby because I remembered the other guy had an issue with it. I tried using the word baby and he's like, don't ever call me that. And I thought it was so mean. Like, what do you mean don't ever call you baby? But now as I Google the word, the definition, it means a very young child, especially one newly or recently born. Listen, future hubby.
Hubby's cool.
Oh, wait. A young woman or a person with whom one is
having...
Can
we still use bae?
Oh, no, but... But a definition is also a young woman or a person with whom one is having a romantic relationship as a form of address.
I don't like it.
Y'all don't call, you don't have to call me baby.
I go bae.
You can call me babe.
A babe is a child. A babe. No, I rock with bae because that was created. But babe is like a child. Baby is a child. I'm cool. All right, y'all. That went left. That whole conversation turned. We love y'all.
Thank you for the support. And how are you in your right mind calling your daddy, daddy, and your man, daddy, too? That's disgusting. You grown as I don't know what, calling your father, daddy, and your man, daddy, sexually.
What about ma? Yo, ma.
What's up, ma?
What's up, mommy?
What's up, mommy?
Spanish people say, mommy.
I don't like, don't call me mommy either. Not in a sexual way. I don't know, y'all. I can't. Bye. That's
all right, y'all. I know. If you like the video that you just watched, click this one. You're going to like this one, maybe even more. Click it right now.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.